Ah, shit, here we go again.
Welcome to the Sloppy Book Club podcast. I'm Jenny.
And I'm Celise, and welcome to season 3, episode 12. On this episode, we are going to have guest author Ali Shante, and she is an indie author, and she had her debut series, Living Legends, that came out last year, and we're super excited to have her on.
Yes. Okay, so let's just let her in.
Hi!
Welcome, welcome. We're so excited to have you on.
Hi,
thank you.
You. Hi.
Nice to hear you. Hear me? I was so nervous right before starting. I was like, oh my God. As if I don't see you all the time.
I was like, I know, like, we talk, but we don't actually like see each other.
And I'm like, Jenny, like, you know, you guys talk, it should be a little bit easier. Me, you know, I'm like, brand new. I'm like, hello.
So as you know, we usually start off our episode with like a little drink. It's okay if you don't have one. It's all good. I have a drink, so I want to talk about it. Do you happen to have one?
I do. I mean, like, I have water. I can always get that.
It's all, so does Elise. Hey. I'm the only one with wine today. That's okay. Hey. So I have Wild Child, which is the second time I've tried this wine, but this one's a Pinot Noir Rosé.
Okay.
Ooh. Fancy.
I know. It's not red this time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's actually really good.
See, now I'm jealous.
Imagine if it was bad.
It happens all the time. Literally all the time.
We're always
that's why we don't have like a brand of wine helping us out, because they literally see our episodes and I'm like,
yeah,
like nobody wants that.
Really bad. We're just like, we enjoy wine, but we're not like wine connoisseurs. We're like, oh, you know, you get the hints of rose and all of this. We're just like, bah,
this is nasty.
No, I want cheap white wine. That's all I want. I want it sweet and I want it cheap.
Yeah, that's pretty much how I am. I'm like, give me like a barefoot Moscato or like a Moscato
place that's
less than $12.
Yeah, and I love that one.
Usually better, so I'm not mad at it. But we are so excited to have you on. Mm-hmm. We're excited to, you know, go into like your writing process and talk a little bit about your books. So for our listeners and watchers who watch us on YouTube, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah. So I'm Ali Shante. I'm a 30-something military wife. Who's also a dog mom. I'm also an escape room enthusiast. I actually don't normally read fantasy romance, like generally. I'm more of a contemporary romance reader. I just happen to publish a fantasy romance and somehow people like it. Yeah.
So interesting.
I'm just much pickier when it comes to fantasy. I like particular things that happen in it and the particular representation in it, whereas like taboo romance, I'm just like, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just read like whatever gets put out. but yeah, I published this fantasy romance not thinking it was going to be my first like book that I published, but here it is and I can't take it back, and I'm happy that it's out there.
Oh, I'm happy you wrote it.
Same, girl, same.
And I'm sure a lot of readers will feel that way too.
Yeah, I hope so. Because I'm like, I can't go back now, so.
It's in the world.
It's out there, yeah. So when did you decide you wanted to be an author? Like, how long have you been writing for? And when was like that actual moment where you were like, I'm actually going to try to publish something?
So I've been writing since I was like in middle school. So I was like 12, 13. I was like physically writing things like down in composition books and had awful handwriting, and I didn't have like a laptop or any of those things. So everything kind of just like came out pencil paper, and I kind of just wrote whatever was on my mind. And my mind is not set on one idea constantly, especially like when you're 12. So I was like, I'm going to write this, but obviously I didn't know the world at all. So it was all very much 12, 13-year-old girl thoughts. And no sense of character development, no sense of conversation. Like, it was all that's happening in the present day right now to me in this English class that I'm in. And I think like throughout time, I went through different genres, still using a composition book. And I think I didn't get a laptop until I went to college. And then I kind of figured out like word creative writing, not word writing papers. Mm-hmm. And that kind of took off. And I, once I met my husband, we were dating, I would send him like little stories here and there, but like nothing was ever finished. And it just wasn't the story I was kind of meant to put out there. And Legend is kind of out of nowhere. So it was definitely like nothing was fantasy until Living Legend. I didn't write any fantasy draft until then. I was like, I'm just gonna do this and see what
that's
happens.
Wild.
Yeah. Wild to me. I would have never thought that. I would think like you were like a huge like fantasy reader, yeah, just because of how it plays out on in the book. Like it, you seem like a fantasy lover because it had those elements that you look for in a fantasy book. So to hear that, that's like not really like your thing. It's so interesting.
Yeah, I was not. I think like I didn't actually start reading fantasy books until maybe like it's 2024 now, so probably like 2016. And then I kind of went back and forth. And then I didn't really pick one up for a while. I think after I got married, I didn't really read for like a section of time. And then I went back and then I ended up finding like indie authors and then all these other genres popped up. And I kind of like had to divide time between like monster romance and like Y2s and all these other things I didn't know existed. And like my like palette of reading definitely changed. And I think I got more confident in producing Living Legend as a book after talking to so many like indie authors and things, and I was like, I can do this, it's totally fine. And I think with me, fantasy romance was a nice genre for me to be in because I'm a big like imagination person, so like nobody can really tell me I'm wrong,
right? It's your world.
Contemporary is much more like in the now, yeah, and I have to be a little bit more vigilant on like what I'm doing because somebody can honestly be like, no, That's not how this works.
Do you think that any of those ideas in your little composition notebooks are ever going to make it out to the world?
I could definitely honestly tell you that none of my like horror mystery ones will ever see the light of day.
Oh no.
but the contemporary ones might. I think it's just the nervous factor of now being kind of known as this like romanticy author and trying to swap to something that's not that is that. And I also don't want to create this whole other like name for myself. People do like split their time between this name published and this name, but I just was like, doing this is hard work enough. And I was like, and then trying to maintain two TikToks or trying to maintain two Instagrams, like I'm like, you know what, whatever. I was like, I'll just kind of revamp myself if I have to, or I'll just be like, guess what, this book doesn't have magic. It has real people doing real things.
Now, you mentioned that you would send like some of these stories to your husband. Was that something you did with Living Legends? Was this something like he was just like, yeah, go for it?
So with Living Legend, no. So I started writing Living Legend after we were already married. So when we were like full on living together, and I was like, it was like kind of in my head, but I wasn't really telling him anything. And I think when I was dead set on like, I'm going to write this story, do I know how it's going to go? No. But I was like, I have these little ideas. And I remember we were in the car and I was driving us somewhere and I was like, hey, I have this idea for the story, but I only know these like five things about it right now, like I don't know anything else. And he's just like, okay. And I was kind of just telling him like the gist of the story, and I think like the main plot twist of the first book, I made him guess it in like 20 questions. So he like asked me like a broad question, and then he kind of just like went smaller and smaller, and he's like, is it like this, like, and he's like, that's actually kind of cool. And I was like, yeah, how do you execute that? I don't know. I was like, we're gonna see.
Yeah, this sounds great. How are you gonna do it? I don't know.
I'm a total pantser, so I was like, we'll see how it goes.
I could see that about you. I could see that you're a pantser.
As an indie author and with social media and marketing Has that been like something that's been really helpful for you and, you know, getting your books across and like getting to readers? How has been, you know, you being an indie author and the marketing and the social media, how has that impacted your writing?
I think it's definitely helps to have like a social media presence, whether or not you're a faceless account and you don't feel comfortable with that versus me, who's kind of just like in your face all the time. Whether or not people enjoy that, but I don't mind it. I think that having some sort of presence is necessary, and I think it has helped me at least, but I definitely started with like a just Bookstagram account, like just reviewing other people's books and like reading in general. And I think I like went over to having like just like an author account. And I think that did help because I was kind of already in the know of certain readers and like how people presented their books and how people marketed, and then I was able to kind of model after that and then do what works best for me. Not all models work best for everybody, but and then definitely genre wise it is dependent. So, you know, for some, you know, monster romances, the way they market is not going to be the same way I market my book. Right. Not going to get across the same to the right people or anything. But I also think that social media is great, but I do think that the people that are going to read your book are going to find your book regardless. So
Yeah. You
get that one account that likes it, and then they're going to tell other people, and then those people will follow you. So it's also about whether or not, if you start out with 200 people, one of those 200 people are going to tell 200 more people at some point. So you'll grow, just maybe not as fast as the next account, but it'll happen.
Very true. So how do you prepare yourself for writing? I know I've seen you post about you get things done at work sometimes, but like, what's it your go-to, like your drinks, your snacks, your preparation for sitting down to actually get yourself to write?
So normally, like, I do have like a set number of like, I have different little like tumblers and stuff that I drink from, and it's mainly either water, or if we order food before I go to write, I never really finish the drink that I have. So whether or not we get like fast food and stuff, I'll bring it upstairs with me, and then it'll stay up here for like forever, whether it's empty or not. And normally I just light a candle. It doesn't really matter. It just depends on whichever one's next to me. And I don't know, the candle doesn't really set the mood. I just like nice smells when I'm like writing. And I can't have music unless it's instrumental, because lyrics, just I can't do it. I don't know how people do it. But
yeah, and people read with music too. I don't know how they do it, because I can't. I'm like singing and dancing with it and then trying to read. It just doesn't work.
I lose track of what I was even like seeing and like where the story was going, because I'm listening to like a million other things. So I don't know how people do that.
Like I have my writing friend that like she writes a completely different genre than me, but like her playlist is obviously very different than my book playlist. Because she listens to like the one for her book, and then I'll like have the one for mine. But I can't do that because not every song is as long as whatever scene I'm writing. So once the scene is like done, it'll go into some like sad song, and I'm not out of this part yet. And I'm just like, well, I can't even do this anymore. So I have to go backwards to the same song over and over again for 3 minutes. And I'm like, I can't do this. I was like, so whatever, we'll just write in silence. Like I can write to the clicky clack of my keyboard.
Yeah.
I don't need anything else. And I don't normally eat, just because I don't like continuously doing this. Like, I can't. I have to just pause, like, and eat. And
that's
then,
been with, like, reading books. It's really hard to, like, snack, because I'm like, I don't want to touch my book or my Kindle and, like, get it greasy or anything like that. So, like, it's almost, like, the same as a reader.
Yeah, if it's, like, food, like, if it's, like, two-handed food, like a burrito or something, like, I can't do that. But if it's like, oh, it's goldfish, like I can just kind of hop the Kindle and like do that. But if it's anything like a hot Cheeto or like anything that causes like my hand, I can't.
I was like, no, I've mastered the eating and reading. I can do it all day, every day.
She's like, I'm hungry, I can't wait.
Yeah.
Of your writing process, how do you get through writer's block? Like, how do you break free of that?
It's not fun.
I can only imagine.
It's not a fun place to be. It's kind of currently where I am, but it's a little bit different than writer's block. Like, I know exactly what I want to do, but it's kind of getting the motivation to do it more than, like, not knowing what's going on. I think I didn't really have it with Legendary, surprisingly. I did have it with Living Legend, but I think it's situational, honestly. Writer's block is obviously not the same for everybody, but I do think it's dependent on you. So with me and Living Legend, I didn't have like a timeline because it was the debut. Nobody was waiting on it. I could just do it whenever I wanted. And I think a lot of that time I would talk myself out of, you know, being a good writer and like, this is awful. And I'd have time to reread stuff without sending it to anybody. And obviously I would put myself in this hole of like, this is awful. And like my husband would read it and he'd be like, this isn't terrible. I don't know what you're talking about. And I was like, no, it's garbage, but it's fine. Like you're biased, whatever. But I think that went away once the book was done and like my editor saw it. And then like, I didn't make a few changes to it later. And I think with Legendary, I was a little bit more confident. I did have small pieces of time of like writer's block, but that was more scene based. And it was like, oh, like I should probably just go to bed, come back, look right at this again. And then it all wrote itself out. And I was like, oh, then I was just always looking at the screen too long, something like that. What's happening with the third book is that now that the second book is out, there's this span of time where I'm like, what do I do? Like, it's like the Jennifer Lawrence like sound of like, what do I do?
Oh, what do I do? What do I do?
what do I do? I'm like, hello, what do I do? <That's> Like, I obviously want to market the books, but it's like, I don't know if I'm in this place to just like clicky clock away for like book three, because obviously it's the end of the trilogy. I want it to be the kind of book that it is, like an ending that it deserves. But then everybody's kind of like grabbing hands for it. And I'm happy for that, but I'm also like stressing. So I think it's like writer's block induced stress at the same time. So it's like three different versions. And I think I get over it three different ways. And it's like really hard to like pinpoint how. It's just like, I think it's mainly just having people there to like tell you it's okay to take like a small break, or it's okay to like go and write something different. It's okay to just not write at all. And yeah, do anything other than writing.
I give writers so much credit because it takes a lot out of you being that creative and in the process. And then like you said, when you have books out there and people have this expectation of like, oh, you know, when is book three coming out, and you just released book two, it's like, give me a second to breathe. So even as a reader, you know, I get so excited reading series and I'm just like, okay, when's the next one? Like, I devour it. And then I like forget, like, hello, authors need their time too. So I'm like, okay, I'll be quiet now and wait.
Yeah. I used to be like that all the time. Like, damn, when are they writing the next one? But I've learned to like, they need time.
But like, also, I think it also makes like the moment when you see like teasers for whatever book you've been waiting for that much sweeter, because then you're just like, oh, it's happening finally. Like, they're in this place now where they can like actually bang out this book for you. And I think that's what it is. But I also got a lot of just like funny things like DM'd to me from other authors that I'm friends with that are like, you say your arc's out so early. And I was like, yeah, because I hear so much about books being so long and people not having enough time, and it's like the 2 weeks isn't long enough, and I'm like, well, here's 2 months.
Yeah, I mean, big fantasy books, I feel like you need to get it out early, otherwise you're not going to get a review in the time frame that's like most like prevalent, you know, because you know people have lives, but a 500 page book can take people a while. Like sometimes, like we've banged out a 500 page book in like a week, but there are times where it takes a little longer because there's so much world building that goes with it. Yeah. So it's really hard to like keep up with it and the pressure to get a review out, you know. But we appreciate your arcs. At least I do.
I was like, I don't know if I'm gonna do 2 months again. I might do a month for like the third one, but I was just like, I'm always testing everything, and I don't regret anything that I do. It's just like, I was thinking, and I was like, well, I was like, I have, like, obviously had people say that the books were long, and I'm like, that sucks, because that's not changing. I was like, there's a lot to be said. I was like, unless you want this book to be six books long, and I absolutely do not.
So, I mean, it is a fantasy, so fantasies are meant to be longer.
Yeah, what's weird is that, like, when writing it, I'm very much like a wordy person, and I definitely know that, and I definitely think that I've like, it's built upon in like the second book, where obviously like there's still a lot of words, but it's like not as many. And I have had people tell me like that they do think it's like, not like, obviously people are scared to tell me like, oh, your writing's improved, because they think it's like not a compliment. I'm like, no, I don't take it as an insult. Like I take that as like, fine. Like, I'm happy that you support it, and everything is like, you know, I'm like improving, and like the story's improving, and it didn't go backwards. That's the thing people are afraid of, because that you're like, man, this sucked even harder. Like, I don't want that. I'd rather you tell me.
Oh, yeah, better. It should get better. So with like all this stress and everything with like writing and getting all your marketing out and everything, what do you like to do for fun? I know you said you like escape rooms. What kind of escape rooms do you like to do?
I started doing escape rooms. I think when me and my husband were dating, I did it the first time for a friend's birthday. So I had no idea what they were. It was an awful experience. But it was just awful because of them, not really because of like the room, but I didn't really know what I was expecting. I'm not big on people hovering over me and being micromanaged, and like I just like space a lot, and it was escape rooms. Like, I don't know if like either one of you have done like an escape room with like a large people.
I think we did one
as a group, yeah, once.
So like, if you know everybody and you're all comfortable, I think that's very different from like me knowing the birthday girl, and then like it's her friends, and like they were cool, like we just weren't friends, but like they were great people and we had a good time. But it's just that different personalities, where like I'm working on something and you're like, oh, what are you doing? Like, I'll tell you, but like it's me, and then don't stand right here, and I'm just like, okay,
go. You can't be like, can you back off
right now?
I was like, back up.
I feel like escape rooms are really a good way to see how people handle like stressful situations, and either really, really good or really, really bad. You could get like a little mix of both. But yeah, it definitely shows you how people handle stressful situations, because it's timed, you know, and you want to win, and it's like that competitive nature. So
yeah, I had no idea.
First time I ever did it, I think I like panicked.
Yeah, I didn't really like, I was just like, oh, like this was cool. Like, none of us paid for it. All her parents did. So like nobody felt like they lost out. But I was just like, this was an interesting experience. Cool. Like, we didn't get out. That place isn't great either. So like, I don't know if that was also it too. Like the room, like I've done really epically well done rooms, and then that was not it. But I didn't know at the time. That was like my first one. And then I think when me and my husband were like really into this relationship, and like we knew it was for the long haul, I had told him about it, and then I went to California where he was stationed there, and he took me to one as a surprise, but I figured out what we were doing before we were doing
it. Of course you did.
He kept being like, we're gonna do something, and I was like, what are we doing? And then he was just like, don't worry about it. And I was like, I think I had asked him like, was it something like I had done before, and he was just like, he told me yes, and I was like, well, that was your mistake, because then I could just filter through all the activities that I've ever done without you. And then I was like, are we doing an escape room? And he just kind of looked at me, and I was like, oh no, my bad. But
why do we ruin our own surprises?
I don't know what we're doing. But like, that one was really fun, and I think we did like a solo one together, and then after that it was just like escape room after escape room. And I think we're together at like 200. Wow. I'm at like 201 or something like that, because I've done one with my sister without him. But we do like to do that. It's an expensive hobby. We've tried to calculate how much money we've spent on escape rooms. It's not a fun number. But
we don't have that many around us to do. Yeah. It would just be doing the same one. So I wish
we had more. Because we did, when we lived in North Carolina, we did all the ones like in our area. And then we randomly like took a weekend and then went to, I think, Charlotte, and then did like an escape room weekend. So we did like 20 that. So we spent like a whole night. like mapping out the ones we wanted to do and the particular rooms. And then he went and like called them and asked about military discounts. And then he asked about like, do we get a discount if we do like another room after it? And then we had to time those. And then we wanted to do one place. And then it was like, well, that's 10 minutes from this place. And like, we need to like eat in between. And like, it was a whole thing. We ended up not eating half of the time. And then like, we ended up doing new rooms and this wasn't on the itinerary.
You guys are like professionals now.
Yeah, it was a really fun time. Like, we've met some awesome people. Like, we've gotten to like beta test some rooms because people like just believe you when they're like, we've done a lot. Like, mm-hmm. We would say we're like the like gurus of it, but
are you sure?
I know. I was like,
are you sure? I would definitely want to go with you to an escape room because I feel like you would know a thing or two. Like, you know, you got some tricks.
I'm much nicer than like, so my husband and I, like, we're nice to people who haven't like done any at all kind of thing, but like we do have to take a step back because some people are like not slower on it, but it's like they've never seen that lock before. They've never seen this, and it's like, we don't want to just grab it out of your hand and be like, this is actually how it's done.
Oh my God.
I'll be like, here you go. This is this lock. Do you want to open it? Like, I feel like I'm patronizing people. But I'm just that's like, funny. Oh, here's the key. Do you want to open it?
Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
That's awesome. Like, because we've done a few, so they are fun. So instead of doing bar crawls, you kind of do like escape room crawls. You're like, well, how many escape rooms are in this vicinity? We're going to all of them.
Basically,
I feel like that's so much more fun and probably healthier too.
Well, I love a good bar crawl. I'm really picky when it comes to alcohol. So like, I'm not like the most fun because I'm not like, I'm going to get this and this. I'm like, vodka, that's it. Thank you. Close the tab now because I'm small. I'm like, this is enough for me. Thank you. Like, I can probably get drunk off of like 1.5 depending on how much alcohol they put in it. Like, I have to really watch myself in my like 111 pound body.
Oh, so tiny.
So if you weren't a writer, what do you think your career would be? Like, what would you want to do other than being a writer?
I don't know. I've had different ideas and like career paths on what I want to do. I think growing up, I had like the like tunnel vision of like being a like actual doctor. And then I remember when I entered college, it was very quickly that I was like, absolutely not. I don't want to do that. I probably would have been like, I graduated with a bio degree, but like, I definitely was never going to have an English degree because it was one of those things where like, I liked writing and I liked reading, but like, I didn't want to do something that made me hate it. And I don't like writing papers. I can write a bomb paper, like, but I don't like doing it. Like, I don't like being told what to write. And I could procrastinate a paper real hard and still write it and it'd be fine, but I just don't like doing it. And I'm particular about books and I don't like to be told what to write. And like, it was just one of those things where I was like, props to you, but no. So I'm like a pharmacy tech now. So like, I'd probably just like be doing that. It's easy for me to do both, to do that job and then writing. So I would probably just continue to do that. I mean, depending, like, I can always make more money doing that. Like, if this doesn't work out, then I put all my effort into that. It's like an easy job. It's a good job. And as long as I keep up certification, I can do it anywhere.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I was like, it's fine. Luckily my job is like completely understanding about like my writing. And it's very funny because I'll just be like, I can't be here this day. And they're like, do you have a book thing? And I'm like, yeah.
I love that. Well,
that's good. Yeah, I know. At least they're understandable. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Like, okay, see you tomorrow, right?
So I don't know what the book thing is, but job.
Nice.
Now, I remember when Living Legend came out, two of my friends came down for the release day and I was like, I'm not gonna be here these 2 days. And they're like, what are you doing? And I was like, oh, my friends are coming down. And he was like, well, what are you guys planning on doing? And I was like, oh, well, like, my book releases that day. And he's like, you wrote a book? I was like, yes.
Don't have they read about. Have they read it? Have your
absolutely not. No? Okay. They have not. I don't think they ever will. It's very much like, so there are certain people when you tell them like what you write, regardless, they're gonna have that joke of like, oh, it's like a chick book or it's a sex book or it's this, and I'm like, whatever. But like, they're like grown men, and like they move on, and like they don't keep joking about it. And I like, I'm not gonna sit there and have this like intellectual argument with them about how it's not.
Right.
And we just move on, and like they're still supportive, but they're just like, obviously it's not gonna be something that they're gonna read, but. Mm-hmm. They're going to be like, cool, do your book thing. Like, how was your release day? Like, they're like, congrats on your next book. Like, you know, they're still supportive, but I was just that's like, good. Not, like, there's sex in it. It's like, but not a sex book.
That's awesome. So speaking of your book, we should just get into it. Mm-hmm. So Living Legend and Legendary, we do have to kind of keep at least, well, definitely legendary, but Living Legends, spoiler free, because somebody is almost done with it, but not quite.
I was telling Jenny, I was like, oh my God, I had to stop at like the most like climactic part in the whole freaking book. And I'm like, I have to like finish it as soon as we're done because it's so good. Like, oh my God. You know how like you get to like a really juicy part?
Yeah.
Of the book? And then someone walks in and they're asking you questions. It's like, why are you talking to me right now? Yeah.
You like that's have a blanket on your head. You're like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. So that's us right now for Celise.
I'm sorry.
That's Jenny so being like, though. I know something you don't know, but it's fine.
And then I was telling Jenny, I was like, I want to ask you something, but then I don't because I don't want to know. Like, I want to find out for myself. Like, am I right? Am I wrong? Who do I trust?
And she's like, no one. Do not trust anybody ever.
Definitely not Allie. That's for sure. So well, why don't you tell us like the gist of what your books are about?
Yeah. So Living Legend is a new adult fantasy romance trilogy with a female demon and a male angel and their reluctant allies, like forced to work together to figure out how a demon got from purgatory into Heaven's Gate. So they're working together, but trying not to fall for each other, but at the same time figuring out that what they thought they knew wasn't exactly what they've always been taught.
Yeah.
And same for the readers, because there are so many questions when you read Living Legend that you're just like, do I trust this person? Do I trust this person? But wait, what is he talking about? Everybody's so like, hush hush about some things, and it's like the entire thing is a goddamn mystery and you're trying to figure out things on your own. And but I loved it was so good. I loved the whole Danny being a demon and Nick being an angel, because you don't really see that all that often. You usually see the female being the nicer, sweeter, angel-y type, and I absolutely loved that you did that. That was like my thing. Yeah.
I loved how like sassy Danny is. Like when we are getting into the banter and how she's like flirtatious and like, oh, I just love it. Like that banter between them, like her just egging him on and messing with him and like touching him. And he's just like, what are you doing? Like, it's so good. But before we get into all that, how did you come up with the plot? Like what inspired Living Legends?
So I think that it's, I always like when people ask this question, I'm always like, it's not like this like big old story where I was at like a grocery store and like the idea just like popped in my head and I was like, I have to go write things. It was mainly that I had written a lot of stories up until the point of having this idea. And I definitely knew that, going back, a lot of the stories that I was writing had these characters that didn't look like me, which was like not all of them had to, that was fine, but it was just like none of the female main characters did. Like the story seemed very like copy paste, like cookie cutter. Nothing was, obviously I was like 14 a lot of the time too when I was writing these things, so obviously they're not going to be as fleshed out. But I did go back and I looked at a lot of them and I was like, that's, I mean, there's nothing wrong with me for doing that, but it is something wrong with how things are done to the point where I thought that was okay, that all of my characters should be these like palm colored people, then I was like, I don't understand why that was so easy for me to like do that, but it's not easy for me to like write like myself or my friend or whatever into this book. And obviously at the time, like Living Legend, besides Danny being this BIPOC character, you have Natalia being this BIPOC character, but you also have Natalia liking girls, and you have these bisexual characters, and you have these like inclusivity. And I just didn't see that in a lot of the books I was reading, or I guess just didn't pay attention to it. But I was like, I'm gonna do this, but like I need to have a nice story surrounding it, or a not so nice story, or however I was gonna do it. And I think I could like switch it up depending on interviews and say the wrong thing, but I'm pretty sure at the time we were like watching Lucifer a lot, and I liked that, and I liked this idea. And then I think like as Living Legend was getting written, we were also watching Good Omens at the same time. So I was like, and I'd already written half the story, so like the gender bentness was already done. I was always going to do that. I don't think I would have liked Danny as much as a character if she was very angelic and sweet and as a character. Like, you know, like I really like anytime I'm in her head is like the most exciting time for me, because it's like you can just be not as unhinged as Elise, but you can be completely like myself. Like a lot of her banter, a lot of her words come straight from like myself and how I would be in like a situation and how flirtatious like I am. And it's very much like, not anymore.
Not anymore.
I got my husband. Anymore.
I'm a married person.
That's funny.
But I can definitely attest that a lot of the humor comes straight from me. Like, I don't make it up, really. It's just like, that sounds funny. I want to say that to somebody. So I'm like, okay. And I think the plot, like, the whole story surrounds the plot twist of the first book, so everything was done around that. So once I got to that, I was like, oh, so I wrote it, and then I was like, now what do I do? Like, I'm at this point that I had now, and so like that's kind of near like the endish sort of the book, so like I kind of had to be like, all right, how do we finish this? Like, how do we, like, I thought it was going to be a duology this whole time, so I was like, how do I finish this? And I was like, how do I move on? Like, how do we get here?
Mm-hmm.
Like, is everybody, like, because I don't know, I remember writing the plot twist was I was in this room with a bunch of people downstairs, and we were having a housewarming party, and my husband's like, are you coming downstairs anytime soon? And I was like, I'm doing things. I was like, I will come downstairs when the chapter is finished. He's like, okay.
I didn't even know that it was going to be a trilogy before I read Legendary. I thought it was just going to be a duology. I don't remember reading that anywhere.
Jenny goes to the end of Legendary and she's like, oh, what? The things you've lied about.
Oh. She's on the your voicemail. The things you lied about.
You're lucky I don't have your number.
That's literally, every time I listen to that sound, I was like, that's so accurate, because I promise I lied to myself, too, so.
You were like, I could fit this into two books, and then you're typing, and you're like, my readers are going to be so mad.
It was really just me being like, this is so great, and then my husband's like, you were so mad at you, and I was like, it's fine, whatever, you weren't mad at it, it's fine.
They're gonna be fine. For like 5 seconds. And then I got over it. So, like, with you not knowing at first it was going to be a trilogy and then it changing, like, how do your drafts and outlines and all, or even if you do any of that, because I know you're a pantser, but, like, how does your story change? Like, how much does it change until you get to, like, that final product that you want out there?
I think with Living Legend, that was all pretty much completely, once I got to a certain point, that was all kind of set out. I did take a few things out, but that was how that complete story was going to go. There was no, like, I couldn't really add anything. I couldn't really take anything away, because a lot of the story is very character driven, so if I take some things out, it kind of would mess things up for the later parts for the character. So I do plot some things for certain character arcs and certain reasons, but like particularly with characters like side characters, so things like Reese and Elise and stuff, a lot of things I didn't really do in book one because one, it wasn't necessary, and two, I had another book, so I was like, character arcs aren't these immediate things, like especially for people like them where they have these like prejudices or they have these like hard shells of people, and it's like one book is not going to do that, especially when they are these like hard characters that fight hard for, like, you know, the person that they're with, they don't like these people, they don't trust these people. And I think that when I was writing Legendary, before I really like got into like the first draft of it, I remember I was in like New York with my husband for my birthday, and I was like, this is kind of what I want to happen, like, for this story. And he doesn't remember a lot. If I wait too long, this man remembers absolutely nothing. And so, like, I have to reiterate some things, and then it, like, clicks, and everything will be, like, remembered. But I just know that we were at a bar, particularly I got his reservations to, like, the Empire Hotel bar, because I wanted to live my Gossip Girl moment. So I was like, we're gonna go up there. And so we sat there, and I had like two drinks, and I was a little tipsy, and he was like, we were talking about the book, and then he's like, okay, well, I'll ask you some questions and you can just tell me yes or no, because he just wanted to know answers because he didn't know things by then. And I was like, okay. But like, we just kept drinking, and then I just like went into this whole spiel about the second book and everything that was going on. And then I went into like part of things for the third book and how I wanted it to go. And then he was just like, oh, he's like, I didn't know that you were doing that. And I was like, oh, I didn't know I was doing that. So I'm doing now, apparently, because Legendary would have been a lot longer if I had tried to mesh a lot of things in there. And I also had no idea that Legendary was going to get so emotionally driven. And because of that, I had to give a lot of effort to particular characters, and obviously I have to, mental health has to be done in a certain way. So like, this is why the book does slow down at pieces, because like, I just don't feel like it's right to start fast pacing somebody's trauma and making them like see it really quickly when like they're not ready. And with that character, he's very stubborn, and I'm like, all right, well, we'll just do this at your pace, at your time, however you want to do this, that's fine. But it would have just like been weird if I would have tried to jam pack everything, because then you would have probably had like an 800 page book, and so I was like, we're gonna start cutting it off. And then I started adding plot twists.
And you can definitely see, like, the whole, like, I'm not going to spoil it, Cilice. Yeah. The whole emotional, like, journey with some of the characters, this in particular one. And this book is definitely very different, because the first book, it's fast-paced, it's character-driven, but you still get a lot of, like, the world and the plot and everything kind of mixed in. And the second one is so heavy on all of the emotional aspects of especially one person, and I really enjoyed that, because it was nice to see them in a different light than the first one.
Yeah, it was definitely,
well, one of them, I wanted to, like, one of them pissed me off so much all the time. Can't say ooh, I'll tell you later.
Well, talking about characters, and you are going into the writing process, I'm assuming, for book three, which one of your characters has come easy when it comes to writing, and which one is the hardest to write? Because I don't want to say favorite or least favorite, because I feel like authors have their characters, but like, who's the easiest to write and who's the hardest to write?
For me, I do have my favorites. It really just depends on scene and what's going on and how easy they want to like talk to me, and it's annoying because sometimes none of them do. But I think it's really honestly book dependent. It's like going into Living Legend, I didn't know any of them. Obviously, like I only knew kind of like their outlines in my head and like how I wanted them to be, but obviously characters are never ending up exactly how you think they're going to be at the end of the day. I think the only person that's pretty much stayed in their set is Dani. But I've always created her to be this, like, not irredeemable in a bad way, but like she was always just going to be who she was, and that was it. Like,
I love
Nick
that.
Nick is a beautiful man, but like, no, like, he's great, but she's like, that's fine. You can stand over there. Like, that's fine. You come to me when you know you get some sense. But like, that's kind of how she is. But I think that it's, if it's book dependent, then it's definitely with Living Legend. Dani was my easiest. And I want to say, like, so, like, Reese wasn't my most difficult. It was just that, like, I really didn't know what he wanted to be in the story at all. Like, obviously, he's going to be this comedic relief character, but I really didn't know his story at all. I didn't know what he had to bring to the story besides being Nick's, like, best friend. But then writing Legendary, he became a little easier because then like his story got more thought about for me and his backstory gets more thought about for me, and then I'm like, oh, okay, this is why you're kind of important to me and all these things. Like, you're great and you're funny, but like I know there's more, but I don't know what that is yet. And then I think in Legendary it's shifted to like Dani was actually like one of the hardest, and then unfortunately, like, Nick was, like, the easiest. I feel so bad for him, but, like, but, like, I liked getting this different side of him in Legendary, whether it was emotional or the side that everybody likes to talk to me about. when Nick is not this angelic creature anymore.
Yeah.
And, like, and everybody like comes into my DMs about it. And I'm like, I was surprised too, but I was just like clicking, clocking away. And like, it was the most exciting journey I've ever been on. But that was easy for me. And I want to say in the third book, it's probably going to be just because the story is ending. I feel like they're all just going to be really hard. But I think it's going to swap over again to where, like, Nick is probably going to be harder, but that makes sense with how that book ended. His emotional state is still not great. But I think if I pick, like, a character overall that's probably, like, the utmost easiest, it's probably Elise just because it's just the best time.
She's so much fun.
He's the best time. Like,
yeah.
He has no morals. There's no thought there. It's just whatever she feels.
Yeah.
And I love that about her. How, like, out there she is. She doesn't really care. And it is what it is with her. She's just so fun to, like, read. Even as a side character for, you know, book one, I just love when she's on the page because it's always a fun time, and you know Reese is going to just be upset the whole time. And I like that she gets under his skin and stuff. It's just like a fun, I enjoy it a lot.
Agree.
Yeah, everybody's just like, oh, I can't let these females just make all these men uncomfortable.
I love it.
It's fun. Mm-hmm. It's actually really fun.
What?
Everybody's just like, why is everybody so sassy? And I'm like, because they just want to be that way. I was like, I don't know. And I was like, I just wrote them like that. I just wrote everything that I thought. And then I went back, obviously, and I fixed some things or changed little things here and there. But overall, like, I always knew Dani was going to be like the more overtly flirty one, and that's always fun, like banter when it comes to that, when it comes to when I can add sexual tension and banter at the same time, like, and make it one is the best time. And perfect. The whole time sitting here, it like, I'm trying to act like you're not obsessed with her, please.
But they finally, the wait was worth it. I just tell you that.
It's so that delicious.
Woo! I love it. It was so good.
Perfect. Yep. Agreed.
Now, that was like the perfect time for them to finally like get it out, you know? They're like fighting and then it turns into more and it's just, it was so good.
I felt like some people were not prepared for that. Like some people thought it was just going to be another bantered moment. And then there were people who were like very versed in like
trying to read really fast.
And they're like, and they're just like, I know it's going to happen at some point. I know this is the moment. The minute when that man like dropped his eyeballs to her mouth, they're like, it's about to happen. And I was like, finally. I feel like I wrote it and I was like, ah, I was like, damn it, it's happening. 12 chapters later, it's happening.
It's happened.
Now, if you could spend a day with one of your characters, just one, who would it be? You could be doing anything in the world. Who would you want to spend it with?
I feel like I want to say I would spend it with Reese, but I feel like he would just annoy me like the whole time. Like, I feel like it would be the greatest time. Like, I feel like we would like drink and it would be really nice and we would laugh, but I feel like he would get me into so much trouble that I would like, and I'm not that person. And so like, it would be a time, but I don't think it would be him. I feel like I would just spend a lot of time with, I don't know why, I would definitely spend a lot of time with Nick, even though like he's such an overthinker, but I feel like it'd be spending time with myself. And I feel like we would just chill and like not do much and sit there and like
just
and
hang out.
Be happy being alone. And if I wasn't married, then we could just do other stuff.
Obviously. I would choose Maurice. I don't know what it is about Daddy Maurice. He is it for me.
I love, like, I feel like if I was like going out and I knew we were gonna get in trouble, it would be Elise, because I feel like we would just have like the time of our lives. But I feel like I would wake up with no clothes somewhere. And be
or
like,
in jail.
What happened?
Or
like,
in jail.
What happened? Where were we? What did we do? Like, I would have a lot of explaining to do with her. But I know I'm going to have an epic time. I may not remember it, but I feel like it's going to be an epic time.
I feel like you would end up in jail, but like by yourself.
Yes.
I feel like she'd be on the other side of the cell.
She wouldn't. Yep. You said that's your fault.
That is so true. She was like, I didn't tell you to do that. You did that on your own.
I told you to put your pants back on, but you said no. So sorry. Like,
that's true. I'll be the one in trouble. And she'll be in the house chilling.
Yeah.
Like, I'm
waiting for you.
For sure.
I'm very amused sometimes when like the Maurice Cassiel thing started and I was just like, oh, it's kind of funny, but then everybody was like choosing Nick's dad and I'm like, this man is literally in like the book like less than 10%.
It's so
everybody loves him
though. He's got that mysterious quality. He doesn't reveal a lot and you know he's holding so much information and you just want to see it. You want to know what it is. I think that's what it is for me.
It's a mystery.
I need him.
It's the fact that he gardens and he loves his son.
So do I.
He can cook food and you're like, yes.
Everything I want.
Everything I want in a man.
Oh, man.
So we know you have plans for book 3. But what's next? How do you feel like your trilogy, like how is it gonna... I don't want you to give too much, but how is that process going for book 3?
It's going. It's definitely slower. Not because like most people be like, oh, it's the last book, you know, it's so sad and whatever. And I know I'm probably gonna like get a little emotional about it, but I'm not really done with like the world when it's done. So that's what doesn't make me as sad. But I do think that unfortunately I did a lot of things in the second book that wasn't in the plan, and then now I have to like, I guess, not really reap those benefits because it's not really beneficial to me. And now I have to go backwards and like fix it or elaborate on things or make things right or whatever. And trying to figure out how that's going to get done is what's like holding me back a lot, because obviously I can write up to a certain point and then I have to make things make sense. And I have to make sure there's no plot holes and like these things are accounted for, and obviously push for whatever comes after, because obviously like that story for Nick and Danny is going to be like over because their POVs are going to be over. And then I'll move into like Elise's stories and then like Reese's story and those things. And a lot of times like people have asked me, you know, the side character stories, can they be read as standalones? And I'm like, technically yes, technically no, because the way the trilogy is going to end is there's obviously going to be this epilogue for one of their POVs, one of like Nick or Danny's, I don't know whose, but like it's going to kind of like round out their love story and their whatever. And then there's going to be like a secondary POV that's going to kind of lead into the next like side character book. So like it's not necessary, but it's nice to have that and be like, oh, like that's interesting and stuff like that. And I'm definitely going to have like a, I guess like a last time on this entire trilogy, so that when you go into Elise's book, you're not like foreign to what happened,
right?
But it would be nice to go back and be like, oh, these people that are now side characters that were main characters, this is their entire love story and all of the trauma that they went through to get to the place that they are now. And so like trying to like not just go straight into Elise's book is really hard, because it's there. It's sitting there. And it's sitting there nice and pretty with her love interest and all of the onion peeling that I have to do with her personality. And
I'm so excited.
And all of those things, I have to do that, but I still have to finish out book three. And the prologue's already written. The prologue is not the nicest, but it does answer some people's questions. And I've written part of the first chapter, and I don't want to go back and forth with like the emotional things, but it is emotional, but it's a different kind of emotional than in like the second book. So in the third book, it's more of like a familial emotional thing rather than like mental. And it's not gonna be great, because it's like I want to make it multi POV now, but like I don't want to confuse people and just start like going into other people's heads if unnecessary. But people like the multi POVs because there's so many like good characters to get into their heads. But I'm like, don't worry, I was like, you're gonna be in their heads enough. And diving into Elise's head is gonna be a scary, scary place, but
I believe it.
Yeah. Fine. Good luck to you.
But I'm excited. I mean, I remember specifically like Jenny's video to me on TikTok and being like, I am upset about these two characters. Okay.
Yep. I'm excited for it. I can't wait. I can't wait to see what else you do with them.
I love that even though this trilogy is ending, we're still getting the characters that we love so much, and their voice, you know. So I love that. That's gonna be awesome.
Yeah, they definitely deserve their own. I always had planned on it. I didn't know anything about their like happily ever afters or like whatever would go on with them. I definitely just knew that they had their own stories to tell, but the book was already not multi POV, and I wasn't gonna change it. So I was like, you guys can just have your own book, whatever. And I was like, I'm not going to put your own story in there to, like, spin off later and it's going to be weird. I'm just going to give your own entire section to, like, do whatever you need to do. And I can go backstory on that. But I definitely wanted them to have their own things. Once they started getting fleshed out more, I was like, okay. I was like, you have a lot to say. We're going to give you your own space to do that. And
awesome.
It's going to be weird, really weird, writing a POV that's not Nick and Danny, because I'm so used to their dynamic and their back and forth, and it's going to be weird to now write a different kind of love story with two different people whose banter is not the same, whose, you know, love language is not the same. It's very different, but it's interesting because I was talking to one of my other friends about it, and specifically with me, like, dialogue is one of the things I love writing, but I love writing like spicy scenes in general. But all spicy scenes are not made the same. So Nick and Danny's are like for them, like that's what they do. It's mm-hmm. it's ever evolving, but it's them and it's like perfect for them. But you know, Elisa's situations and Reese's situations are going to be different. So I can't copy paste what Nick and Danny do and put it into this book. So I was like, it sounds weird to like think about that, because obviously you want to think about the plot and you want to think about this. But to me, yeah. I'm sitting there like, I was like, what is she into?
Like, it's true. They have completely different personalities. So why wouldn't everything else fall in line with that? You don't want it to be exactly the same. So I'm excited.
Guys, my best friend thinks it's very funny. She keeps trying to give me ideas, and she's just like, I feel like I picture Elise being like this and putting collars on people doing this thing. And I was like,
I mean, makes sense.
Me too, bestie. Me too.
It makes sense. So is there anything else you want to talk about in the series? Where can people find your books?
Yeah.
Things like that.
So definitely I did write a, like, it's like a little like Christmas novella thing that you can, I technically always say like the reading order of that is Living Legend, Lights and Legends, and Legendary. You don't have to, it's more like a companion thing. So, it gives you a little bit of like backstory insight on a character that you met in Living Legend. And then it also gives you some insight on a character that you meet in Legendary. And it makes people very confused on whether or not they like this person or not. And then you come to realize like how you actually should feel later on. But I wrote it kind of as like a little palate cleanser for myself before I finished out Legendary. There is going to be a second novella that's a lot longer that isn't really like, there's no timeline on it. So you can kind of read it whenever, but just know that like Nick and Danny are like together in this novella, so don't kind of get it as confused, but it is a lot, it's going to be a lot spicier, but still have a wholesome vibe. I guess it's like a R-rated Hallmark.
Nice.
That's going on.
Nice. We love that.
Yeah. So I'm like, I wanted to make it all cute and like cuddly, but then it's also like not.
But it's
also them, so really, it's like, if I could just do that all day long, I would. But there's that, and then I want to push like the third book to come out sometime the beginning of like next year. It really just depends on me and like writing wise, but that's kind of what I want to do. And then once that trilogy is done, then it's like onward kind of to Elise's book, but then plus I have like a whole other series that I'm like trying to be a planner on. Because it's going to need planning rather than Living Legend. I can kind of pants that. And because it's much more of a modern urban kind of fantasy. So I can kind of like wing it a lot. Whereas this new series is not that at all. Because I will get confused if I don't keep it in line.
Yeah.
But then I also have a prequel planned for Living Legend. So you'll get to see all of the Maurice. But he is not a 40-year-old man. He is a 20-year-old man who is definitely not the person that you know now.
Okay. I'm excited for that. Get to know
him. Yeah, it answers a lot of questions for the past.
Okay. All right. So now, is there, outside of that book, is there a book that you feel like, if somebody's asking you for a recommendation, what book would you always recommend to them? Just like one of your favorites or something that is your go-to to read when you want to escape your books?
When I want to escape my books, I usually always end up picking up like a QB Tyler book because it's like, ooh, it's like worlds away from like mine and it's completely taboo. And like, I don't have to really think when I'm in that like domain of hers. So it's usually like any QB Tyler book, or it's like any like Nikki St. Croix book. I'll always kind of like recommend those to people entirely, also because like they're a little shorter and like they're a little palate cleansery. But usually if like they want to like dive like super deep into something, but they want to kind of like keep within the same, like if they read my book and then they want to like go into something that's kind of like the same, then I'm probably always going to like hand them like Michaela's book and be like, here you go.
Yeah. It makes sense.
Yeah, that's a good one.
But I'm always like, here you go. But like, look at Cree. Don't look at nobody else.
Look at the- Love Cree.
You had mentioned earlier that contemporary romance was something that you enjoyed reading. Is there any other genres that you enjoy? Or like,
I think like when it comes to contemporary, like there's different kind of versions of it. So it's mainly that like I'll look at like the dynamic of how the story is. So sometimes like I'm in the mood for like a Y2s, or sometimes like I'm in the mood for like a sports like contemporary romance. Not normally, but I haven't read many of those. But I'm definitely like a trope person a lot of the time. So I will always kind of go more towards a lot of the tropes that I like. I will definitely read most things, but I think, I don't know why, it's not like as taboo to me anymore because I've read so much of it, but like I read a lot of like brother's best friend and like step siblings for some reason.
I've never done that one.
I was like, if I had a step sibling, probably not, but like other people's step siblings, that's cool. Like I could read that all day long. But yeah, I usually always read just like a brother's best friend thing. And I'm always just like, man, I always go back and wish that like my friends had like cute brothers, but they were always either younger than us, like completely younger, or like they just weren't attractive or something.
Yeah.
So never mind. Like the stories have lied to me, but it's cool.
That's all right. I'm
always for like a teacher, yeah. Like a student age gap. I always like that. But like that never happened for me either. So
unfortunately, right?
So it's always like that. I look at like that stuff when I'm like, if it's like a contemporary, because obviously it's kind of hard to do like a teacher student unless it's like in fantasy, unless it's like, oh, you know, the person that's teaching you how to fight and then like you're their student that way. But sometimes in a classroom it hits different. But I usually look at that more than just like the genre in general, because I mean, I can get the same thing in a monster romance.
That's true.
With those, like
that is very true. Love a good monster romance.
I didn't actually like know I was going to be into monster romance until I think the very first person I ever met that actually got me into this like indie authoring thing was like Ashley Bennett. Yeah, I was like, we became like friends and things, and I think I read like Muscles and Monsters, and then I like fell down that rabbit hole and I was like, this is a thing. I was like, this is nice.
I like I think that was the first monster romance that I read, if I'm remembering correctly, the Muscles and Monsters.
That was not the first one I read. It was the first cozy monster romance I read. The first monster romance, unfortunately, my friend recommended to me was Cleo Evans' Creature Cafe.
Oh my God.
And I was like, I read this and I told my husband about it. And he's like, what is that? I was like, so he's a human, but this is a human. His tail is heart-shaped.
Yeah.
And like they do stuff. He's like, what? And I was listening to the audiobook while we were packing. And it was like on like 100 while I was packing. And he comes into the apartment and he's like, he's like, what is happening? And I was like, I don't remember.
Those are so good.
They're so short, but they're so good. Me and my friend were reading at the same time because she had COVID, so she was like trying to catch up. And I was like, "What book are you on?" And she was like, "I'm on the 7th one." I was like, "I'm on 10. I'm freaking out! Like this is so exciting." And like the whole stories aren't over, and she's like starting like X amount of years later now. So I was like, that was like my first one. I probably would not recommend that to people starting.
those are out
lot,
there.
It's a lot to process. Yeah.
But they're
so good. I'd probably recommend Ashley's, and then I'm like, okay, if you're cool with like every other type of monster on the planet, then let's switch to Creature Cafe.
Yes, agreed. I would agree with that. So we're coming up on the end of the episode. Is there anything coming up this year for you, like book signings or anything that you're doing that people can find you at?
Yeah, so I'm doing I think 8.
Wow.
Something like that. Yeah, so I'll be kind of all over the place. Like, I'll still be here in Maryland because I'm doing like Imaginarium, and I'll be at a PolyCon helping Michaela. So
we get to see you.
Yeah, so I'll be there like with her, helping her, being her book mule. So I'll be helping her in that way. So I'll be there, and then I'm going to like Stimulant and Sinners and Stardust and Book Scouts and Crowns and like all those good things. So I'll be throughout the year, and then 2025 is also kind of like building up, and I kind of need to start telling no, because I can't say no, and then I realize I like am broke, and like all these books are costing me money. Like sit at my house and just wait until these events, and then trying to fly places and have hotel rooms. But I just like meeting people, so I don't really think about that. And then when it comes up, I'm like, oh, right, I have to.
Yeah, pay. We met so many new authors to us at book signings, and it's a good way to get people to read your books. So
yes.
Why not?
It's so much fun.
Yeah, I definitely I love doing book signings. It's always a gamble though. A lot of times like people will try to do like the most, and you know, the table fees do like add up, and I understand that sometimes like not every signing is going to be for you. Like they might say like all genres accepted and you'll see all the genres, but it doesn't mean that like you were going to completely sell out, but it doesn't mean that like you were good enough, or the book's not good enough. It's just might not just be the signing for you.
Yeah,
and that's happened to me once, and it's fine. I mean, like I did one here, which didn't really, I mean, I paid the table fee, but it was like 20 minutes for me, and I did it, and wasn't the best, and I was like, probably not gonna do this again. I went to Flirty and Casey. It was still good. I still met a good number of people. Did I make my table fee back? No, but that I get to hang out with my best friend and like, you know, be in this like new city and also sign books like that were at a bookstore. Yeah. I mean, it was still fun, but would I go for the book signing again? Probably not, but yeah.
You tried it.
I tried it, and I met some people, but I mean, people, obviously it's still a business and you still want to create a profit that's in like the plus version and not the negative. Right. But I mean, I'm still like a baby and starting out and getting footing and things. So, I mean, still a fun ride. I'm still writing the books. I'm not throwing my computer out the window quite yet. So
please don't.
Please don't.
Don't do that.
Because they are exciting and they are enjoyable. So please don't stop. Please don't.
Yeah,
you have me at the edge of my seat. Okay. I promise you that.
That would be very upsetting if I just stopped now, especially.
Oh like, my god, we would not be friends. No,
that would be so sad.
You gotta give me something, at least a little novella to finish it up.
I'll be like, this happened, this happened, this happened. The end. Like,
bullet points. That's not, just give me bullet points. That's it.
No, I want the story. I want the story.
Well, so do I, but. If she's like, I'm done. No, you're going to give me something.
I'll leave her with something.
It's a book funnel ending. It's like, here you go. Yeah. This is one page synopsis of what would have happened if I didn't quit.
Oh, no.
I do have a special like little novella planned for like when the entire thing is kind of like over. Like all of the like side character books are done. Probably at the same time as like the prequel, since that's obviously before, so it doesn't really matter for anything later. But I do have something planned for like way later. It's gonna be a novella. It's gonna be a multi POV novella. Since everything is all tightly knit together now, and my husband's very excited about it.
Getting excited.
Yeah. Like I don't know, we were Texas Roadhouse, and I was telling him about it, and he was just like, and I told him how. Like I want to do it, and it's going to be very exciting. So definitely like keep in contact with me, because I want to send out like special things for people to like kind of help promote it, since it is going to be kind of this last like thing for like this entire series as like a published book. I'm going to obviously do little short stories of like in between their lives, and like I can't get away from them like that, but I definitely want to send out like boxes and things, and it's going to be like a small little thing that I'm just like, I want to tell absolutely no one like what is going on, but I just like want the boxes to be like the thing, and then I want you to open it, and then everybody can understand what is going on now.
All right.
It's gonna be very exciting. I'm super excited, but it's gonna be maybe like 2 to 3 years away, but depends on how fast of a writer I become.
Hmm. Awesome.
It'll be exciting.
Well, I think this is it. It's been a lot of fun chatting with you. I'm so excited that you came on.
Yeah, I'm excited.
And yeah. We really wish you a ton of success. Your mm-hmm. books are amazing. Like I said, like I am eager to see what happens next. Like I'm at the edge of my seat.
You're like, literally, I'm here.
She's like waiting. She's like, can we finish? We can go.
I'm so excited.
Jenny better not tell you anything. So.
I won't. I'm not.
No, she won't. She's really good about that. I would beg, and she would not. She'd be like, I don't know.
You would like, this person is Jenny Black. I don't know. Should you?
I don't know.
What does your heart tell you?
Right. But oh, we are so happy you were able to be on and chat with us. And we wish you so much success. And we can't wait to see you at a PolyCon.
I know. I can't wait to see you guys either.
Well, thanks for joining.
Thank you.
I'll talk to you soon. Okay. You're welcome. Bye.